Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast of the World.
Ding, ding, ding.
I am your host, Trebuchet, and it is an Elimination Chamber hangover. To my left.
Yeah, the revival. I wasn't at the pay-per-view to do that, so I'm doing it now.
Showtime shows, everybody.
Hi.
And we've returned to the Dark Ages. Your new Undisputed Champion. No longer the mustache, the soul patch, Cody.
Yeah, the revival.
Goes.
I also was not on the pay-per-view pre-show last time.
He was on that show.
Me, Nate, and Babyface, and then the Bruiser walked in for part of it. So it was.
How was it? Did the Nate Yard Dog behave himself?
For the Nate Dog, good enough.
Good enough.
Okay. For the Nate Dog, good enough.
That sounds like
that's my dog, y'all. NYD.
NYD. NYD. So how does it feel to be champ?
Great.
Once again.
So I'd like to dedicate this title run to Sasha and Bayley, who won.
Boo.
Is that the
first tag team champion?
Is that the one that put you over the top?
No, the Usos did. I also think, which Uso, was it Jimmy that got into trouble?
It was Naomi's husband, so yeah, I think it's Jimmy.
I like to thank Jimmy Uso for getting in trouble and having everyone pick against him, and I was just all like, actually two people didn't, but it's what got me over the hump. It's what got me to be, I was the only person to beat the Las Vegas picks that Nate was talking about.
Yeah, so you're just sitting in your tower over here.
Mm-hmm. And all you bitches tried to change. Everyone was all like, I already had Daniel Bryan. And everyone changed from Daniel Bryan to someone else.
I did not try to change.
I overcame that minefield and still won the title.
I did not try to change.
All you bitches tried to change. Chris Goad's starting his rap career.
That's right. So we got a lot to talk about here. I want to open up with the thing that everybody is talking about, Kofi Mania. You got to be talking about that right now.
Kofi Mania.
It's the best. I wanted to point out that I called this weeks and months ago. I was right, and we're doing it, and it's working, and it's amazing, because Kofi is Kingston. Yeah. I'm going with that. Thoughts?
Just going to let that phrase hang there for a second.
I definitely enjoyed that gauntlet match.
I still maintain that having Kofi win the Rumble without giving him any kind of push before that was a mistake, but I really think that since then they've really made him a main event guy. It didn't take long, but I think that if they just would have put him in the Elimination Chamber match without that gauntlet, he wouldn't have had the momentum. It would have still been something, but not what it was.
Yeah, well, he's got a lot going in, and he is the new number one contender for Daniel Bryan's hemp championship.
Yeah,
I thought I was the hemp champion.
No, you're not.
Oh, well.
Fickle.
But man, as soon as we get the updated style belt, then they're changing on us.
Well, I think we're going to save some money on this new one. Like I said, it looks like it costs like $8, like total. Got some turquoise diamonds in there, some Velcro. Velcro is very expensive. And
I wonder if anyone's made a replica yet and is selling it on like an Etsy or something.
There was a dude in the audience that had an okay looking one.
Yeah.
It wasn't picture perfect, but pretty good.
I guess I was all like, I'm gonna go in my wood shop and go ahead and make me a Daniel Bryan title right now. I don't know why he talks like that.
I'm gonna get Ron Swanson on it.
Yeah, I imagine he did it eating bacon. He's just a manly man.
Probably. No, that gauntlet, totally great story. I feel bad. Sounds like Mustafa Ali was gonna have the same kind of push in that gauntlet match that he didn't get.
That's but he's be injured.
Yeah, so he got Randy shut his eye the week before, and then I guess that weekend he got hurt in a live event match too, and they were concerned.
I like how I googled WWE hump belt, and the first result was an article from weedmaps.com. They're all like, dude, did you check out the WWE championship? It's made out of hemp. Pretty much. To that effect.
Okay. When was the last time I was on Weed Babs? Yesterday? So, okay.
Wait, hold on. I don't even know what Weed Babs is. WWE Champion. Oh, it's an app where you can find dispensaries.
Yep.
And they actually have a billboard now. I saw them on 96 locally. They're getting into this. Michigan has legal marijuana game. Look at that. It was a waffle maker where you can make your own waffle. It looks like this.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty cool.
Okay, so first of all, Chris was pointing at the...
Yeah. Go back to season one, you'll see about a million of those. Just pointing at things.
Welcome
like
to radio, where nobody can see you point.
After radio.
But he was talking about the championship title belt that is in front of him that he currently holds.
It's a belt.
I don't want to argue.
Fucking you don't want to do this on the air? Shit.
No, I don't really want to right now, no.
Me and Trimmy Shane are having an argument about championships and belts. If you want to know my opinion, listen to Jim Cornette.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. It's just all like, oh, I'm not talking to Chad. I'm talking to Jim Cornette. I'd rather read it on Twitter. It's more fun. My feelings don't get as hurt. So
I don't see a place, though. I do not see a place. I'm looking on multiple places to find one.
A place to find a dispensary?
No.
So I'm maybe we should find that behind the lead.
Yeah, that's
behind
the table.
No, I'm talking about, like, I'm talking about a hand belt replica. I do not see a place to just get one.
Yeah, I mean, it's only that seems like a pretty, you know, convoluted thing to make in the time that it's existed.
Yeah, it probably isn't going to be around like that long. But
I imagine people may have made one for themselves, but they'll like be able to produce one for sale.
Yeah.
Also, I'm pretty sure W would cease and desist the fuck out of you pretty quick.
That's fair too. Yeah.
Jerry McDivitt to come knocking. No one needs that. Unless you're the World Wildlife Foundation, then you're like, scoreboard!
Jesus Christ. I hated them. I hated them for so long. They fucking made them put Vaseline over all those classic moments. That bothered me
so
much.
No, that's WWE's fault.
Well, I don't care whose fault it was. Yeah. It bothered me that they had to
do it. I agree.
I don't care. I don't care that it, whose fault it was.
I agree that it looked dumb, but my understanding was that lawsuit that the reason WWE couldn't use that the WWF thing anymore was because of some kind of injunction they filed.
Oh.
The WWE wanted them, the World Wildlife Foundation, to change what they were doing. Mm. And they put so much effort into it that when they lost the case, they ended up losing way more than they would have.
And that's when the WWF became the WWE.
We had to get the F out.
It was around WrestleMania 18.
Yeah, actually, it's funny. WWE SmackDown, Know Your Role.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, which was the first PS2 one? No, it's Know Your Role, right?
What SmackDown was the, and that was Just Bring It, I believe, was the first one with a name.
I'm pretty sure, no, there's one before. So it was,
and then there was Shut Your Mouth.
Shut Your Mouth. Here Comes Pain. So it might have been Just Bring It.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, Just Bring It. It was Just
Bring
It.
I know I'm right.
No, you're right.
You can say it again.
You're good. actually, there's two versions of Just Bring It available. There was the WF version. They stopped producing it for a few months and then changed it to WWE.
Literally cut the
changed the some of the dialogue in the game.
That's fun. So that's a little bit of video game trivia or history for you guys.
Yeah.
That's fun. Baron Corbin, he's got a couple of guys watching his back these days.
You've got your favorite and your least favorite.
Yeah, my emotions are being played with here because Bobby Lashley.
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 Is helping out Baron Corbin as well as my least favorite person on the roster. I don't think Ziggles is. He may be on it, but he's not.
He's not currently working.
But, it drew McIntyre. And, I don't know. I don't hate Drew as much, but still, like, not my favorite.
Whoa, hang on. You don't hate Drew as much?
As much.
I can't believe you love Drew.
No, no, you're just putting
You want Drew to be Undisputed Champion.
Well, who's saying
that? United the titles.
I said no.
I'll get Drew McIntyre to send you a DM with his information.
Sure, you get on that Showtime. Jeez.
You know I live on Twitter.
I know you do. Anyway, at Showtime Schultz, everybody. You sure hit him up on there.
At Tribute Show LL. You can send some hate mail to
that. Yeah, hate mail.
That's where all the hate mail goes. If you want hater,
I got one.
You
today.
Did get one. You did get one today.
What did it say today?
Michigan State is losing. # hate mail.
Uh-huh. Did you respond to it?
And then I replied, Michigan State is not losing anymore. That is what you want when the game is over. Last I checked. # hate mail reply.
I mean, for the record, the hate mail was correct at the time they were losing.
Yeah, I know.
So, the Soul Patch is grandstanding quite a bit these days. Just peacocking. Putting the cock in peacocking.
No. Can't deny it.
Just
can't
doing
deny
it.
It.
I love that
he does a hand motion.
Oh man, look at him go.
Crisco hangs out with a blind guy and is on a podcast. Just insists on doing sign language.
On that note, I will see y'all later.
What's that supposed to mean? Make fun because I can't see you later.
No.
Yeah, what you doing here?
You should give him that wedgie now.
I'm gonna give him that
wedgie. We should give him a wedgie live on the air.
My belt will talk for me the rest of the
day. All right, get out of here.
I'll see you when I'm in my 30s podcast.
Go on, get.
All right, so Baron Corbin had a tables match with Braun this past Monday.
Sure did.
And it was entertaining. It was
a good match.
I don't know why everybody hates him so much. I think
Those two have good matches together, considering it's two giants.
We were talking about that, absolutely.
Usually, giant versus giant matches are pretty clumsy and not very
Both these guys are sneaky agile.
Yeah, I mean, Braun's built at over 7 foot, and I think Baron's at like 6'9", 6'10".
Yeah, but he can move, and he is...
Yeah, no, just think about like your old, like, Big Show versus Big Daddy V's versus...
Your great colleagues.
Yeah, like, think about those like those giant matchups where it's like, they sound like an attraction. They just look so bad.
It looks great on paper. Like, you know what I mean? These guys staring each other down. These guys are going to smash each other.
Usually, but when they get those to bigger it, guys need someone a little bit smaller to work with.
Because they get gassed, kind
of. To get gassed and to kind of do some of the work rate that they can't do.
Yeah.
I feel like Baron and Braun, very agile, great shape. You know, mm-hmm. They've got good cardio. They do well together. They put on a fine match, even though they put on the Giants match you want to see.
Absolutely.
I was saying that I think Braun Strowman, in his prime, might be as good as Big Show was at his prime.
I'd hear that. I'd agree with that. I like that Braun was wearing the tape and showed the injuries from the table match.
Yep.
Or the no DQ match from Elimination Chamber.
Yeah.
That was showed, that the carryover and everything.
Sure.
And then Leo Rush and Bobby Lashley, we thought they might be done after Elimination Chamber.
I was hoping
Chamber.
Not.
Me too, man. I love
Leo
those guys.
Rush is the best thing that ever happened to Bobby Lashley.
He is the man of the hour. The moth, if you will. And
Lashley.
The 24-year-old piece of gold. And
Mike Logan tried to start a Leo Rush's pants chant at Raw.
That was fun. That was a fun time. And... man, you got roasted on there.
I don't want to talk about it.
You couldn't talk about it at the time.
I'll let you tell the story.
All right. Well, we went to Monday Night Raw, as all you guys know.
We sure did.
And we were talking a lot. even for me and you, we were talking a lot.
Sure were.
And we did our best Lashley chant the whole. Whole time we were there, like, I would say Lashley, you would say Lashley. I would say Lashley.
We keep passing it back and forth.
You would say Lashley. And it got to the point where people were on board, not on board, on board again, and then really not on board.
Yeah, they liked us at first. They're like, oh, these guys are going to do this the whole time.
And then Lashley finally went away because that six-man tag match was great. And EC3 came out shortly after, and you wanted to get a similar chant going for EC3. And you tried your best, EC3. And how did it come out, Chad?
A little bit like, EC3.
And the girl in front of us just turns around and goes, what are you, 12?
I had nothing to say to that. Nope. I proceeded to just lean back in my chair.
Here is your win, madam.
Yep, nope. I'm just going to take my L and shut the fuck up. Well done, man.
That was very fun. So,
we danced with her after.
Yeah, we had a good dance break. I actually enjoyed the dance break in person.
Yeah, it wasn't during
the show.
We were pretty gassed after that.
Well, we ain't the best. We don't have the best cardio on the Undisputed Podcast of the world.
Well, we should
not
work on that because I am the tag team champion.
I am the tag team champion.
I have the belt.
You have a plastic toy.
Yeah,
I am the tag team champion. You can hide. You can hold on to my belt. It's fine.
The possession's 9/10 of the law. I have the belt.
That's fine. When that graphic rolls, it says I'm the tag team champions. It's
what
fine.
Graphic?
The ones that I create. Duh. Don't you know who you're talking to? So some NXT guys moved up here, Showtime.
Yeah.
Are you excited about this?
It's interesting. So the last crop of NXT guys to come up.
Adrane.
He wasn't even part of that.
Okay.
So
Eric
was,
Young and
no?
Insanity? No?
No.
This
was EC3. This was Heavy
you're
Machinery.
Talking like right now. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, like the last, yeah.
Gotcha.
So yeah, EC3, Heavy Machinery.
Lacey Evans.
Nikki Cross, Lacey Evans. And Lars Sullivan, Lars Sullivan shit the bed.
What do you mean by shit the bed? What happened with that? I found that very interesting. So
it's all very like rumor based. It sounds like he had kind of a breakdown before he was supposed to debut.
Yeah.
has having anxiety problems and like Cena and Lars were supposed to have a match at Mania.
That's huge. If you're getting John Cena at Mania, that's huge.
Yeah. So the play was they booked. They booked Cena for the Rumble, and then they had to say he was injured. Yeah. And the idea was that Lars was supposed to take him out before the Rumble, setting up a feud between them.
Right.
But Lars Sullivan, before he was supposed to debut, he had like a panic attack, couldn't be consoled. He ended up going home, and they're like, all right, we'll be here come back for SmackDown.
Right.
He didn't come back for SmackDown. At least he didn't come to the Raw after, and Vince was pissed. He was like, all right, well, whatever. So I don't know what his future holds.
It doesn't sound good.
If anything. It's interesting because he was supposed to come up before all the other... They put him in that package of the NXT guys. He already had vignettes rolling before that about him joining without them.
Yeah, I wonder if they had doubts before that, though, because he got bunched in with those guys, like, really quick.
Yeah. I think more of what it was they were planning on bringing him up. Didn't quite have an opening. They were going to wait a second. And then the ratings took that dive. And like, we need to do something to bring those NXT guys up. So yeah. Those guys are going to come up. We've already... Lacey Evans yet to have a match. She just is kind of doing like the catwalk thing a little bit.
She didn't wrestle on Raw one of those days. I thought I saw her wrestle on Raw once. I could be wrong.
I don't think I saw her wrestle. I think she has been doing like...
I know lately she's been walking down the ramp and then coming back.
Yeah, just kind of posing and...
Yeah.
I don't fully understand. Heavy Machinery, not a big fan. They're already doing main event matches.
I hate that stuff. I hate that tag team. They belong on Raw because their tag teams are garbage.
I think Raw's tag teams are getting better.
I totally disagree. I think they're about where they were. I don't see any improvement at all.
I mean, we've got new tag champs. That's going to save us all.
How?
Yeah, the Revival.
Oh, you are just drinking the Kool-Aid.
Don't bring the Four Loko.
Call what you will.
So we've got that. EC3 is trading wins with Dean Ambrose right now. It seems like EC3 probably still has pretty big upside.
Yeah.
Nikki Cross kind of blended in with the women's division already. It's hard for her because right now, if she stays on Raw, there's not really a good opening. She doesn't have a tag team partner, really.
Yeah.
So Sasha and Bayley aren't going to fight her, and the Raw women's title position
Ronda.
Is all locked up right now between Ronda, Becky, and... Charlotte. Yep. It's not really a good spot for her. But then they immediately brought up the new crop of Aleister Black, Ricochet, and then Gargano and Ciampa.
Yep.
Who are all those other guys.
They're all champions down in NXT.
They're the top guys. They're the top guys. Yeah, the last crop was guys that had been in NXT for a minute, that had some matches, really weren't doing anything too profound at the moment.
Right.
So it made sense to kind of call them up because you weren't really going to leave a gap on NXT.
Yeah.
These guys are the big names down there, and it seems like they're going to keep doing both. Like, they're going to keep going to the go-between. We're even hinting at an NXT kind of invasion angle.
Right. Well,
I would totally be there for.
I think that Vince may be putting a little bit more pressure on the locker room here, too, because they let some guys go when they move these guys up.
Yeah, but, I think...
Dillinger, out...
Yeah,
TJP,
Ty Dillinger, and gone. Hideo Itami all released, and then Arn Anderson also gone.
TJP was rumored to be because of his tattoos.
Yeah, so I was reading it, because it's interesting that they're letting guys go right now.
Yeah.
Because with AEW being a thing, they figured they'd lock these guys down as much as they could, or at least not release them early.
Right.
But you present a good point. Maybe they're moving guys from NXT up to kind of tell the roster, they're like, hey... We have replacements for you ready. Either step up or you don't have a place.
Well, here's the thing. Like, the Revival asked for their release, allegedly. And like,
yeah, and they ended up
a couple guys did that, and they got the push. Vince is like, all right, if that's the way we're going to do business, I'm not afraid to let guys go.
No,
he may
be afraid of the precedent he set by giving the Revival. The Revival asked for their...
I didn't like
the
it.
The Revival asked for their release, and they got
everything
a push.
About this current run with the... Revival, I hate. I don't like the way they got it. I don't like them being the champs. I don't like their anything about those little guys. But anyways.
but yeah, it sounds like TJP, the rumor is that he got released. He got some tattoos.
Right.
And anytime you're going to do anything profound with your look, whether it's you're going to change your hair, any kind of like cosmetic surgery, which is usually more prevalent with the women, or get tattoos... The company wants to clear them first.
Yeah.
They want to make sure they fit whatever your character is going to be doing. Mm-hmm. And then if you've got like a video game model or action figures.
Imagine they could adapt your character into the tattoo. Yeah. They can at least do some like, you know.
Well, they want to make sure it fits an aesthetic. Vince is probably micromanages that more than people care for. But it sounds like they were trying to get video game models for him and then toys.
Yep.
And getting tattoos. Like, okay, we either have to have inaccurate of those or we got to redo them.
And that sucks.
So he claims that they were fine with it, but then got mad after, and I don't know what that's true. TJP also not too popular from what I've heard.
Was he on 205 Live?
205 Live.
I'm like, I know of him because he was on Raw a couple times.
Yeah, he was the first Cruiserweight champion. He won the Cruiserweight Open.
Mm-hmm.
Well known for kind of shooting his mouth off a little bit. I think on Twitter specifically, he got it. I know a lot of fans felt like he wasn't the coolest guy in the world to people.
Fair.
And then Hideo Itami goes. Yeah. Sounds like that was in the works for a while.
Yeah, he's pretty much reaching the twilight of his career.
Yep, he's probably in his 40s.
Might end up going to the Hall of Fame soon.
I don't think he'd go to WWE Hall of Fame.
He might. For his Japan stuff. I don't know. We'll see.
I feel like the guys that go in the Hall of Fame had something to do with WCW or ECW. The guys that didn't have a WWE career or much of one, if they go in, it's because they had an exceptional career somewhere else. And usually Japan doesn't apply that because Japan is still its own thing.
Sometimes. I've seen them induct some Japanese wrestlers.
For example, they didn't have something to do. I think the Japanese guys that go in had a lot to do with WCW's Japan
that
occupation. Where, like, it's not like Kenta didn't do that.
Fair.
Kenta's part of Noah and All Japan, New Japan. But yeah, I imagine he might go back there, have one last good run, and probably call it a career.
Fair.
They made him look like nothing, although when he was at NXT, he had a couple of very unfortunately timed injuries.
I was behind him. I was all about what they were doing with him, and then, you know, injuries happen. It's the nature of the wrestling game here.
Yeah, Ty Dillinger also let go.
I'm like, you know, Ty had a cool catchphrase, and he was good in between the ropes and everything, but as far as personality,
he'd been working for developmental for years.
He was in NXT for a long time.
I mean, he was even before NXT. He had like a little run in ECW, the WWE ECW.
Oh, really?
I can't remember what his fucking name was. Like Sean Spears? I don't know. He had a small run, and then I don't know if they let him go or just demoted him to developmental, but he had been on WWE for a while. Mm-hmm. I felt my position was always, he seemed passable between the ropes, mildly technically proficient, he wasn't going to hurt you, had a charisma that played to the NXT crowd that didn't seem to translate well to the main roster.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't stand out.
No.
Especially the main roster. He just seemed pretty vanilla.
Yeah.
He was an enhancement guy at best. Maybe someone could have done something else with him.
Yeah.
I'm sure he may very well do fine in the indies.
I feel like he will do good on the indies. But speaking of your favorite tag team right now, they lost this past week.
They did.
To Gargano and Ciampa. And would you consider that an upset?
I don't know.
Were you upset by it?
No.
I was not. I was very happy.
I don't know if I can call it an upset. I mean, basically you've got your NXT champion, your NXT North American champion, who have wrestled the Revival before.
Yeah.
And imagine, I don't, and this may be a hot take. People may disagree. I don't think it's an upset. I think that Ciampa and Gargano are, as a tag team, are on the same level as Revival. As a tag team, they are one of the best tag teams.
Well, they're taller and bigger.
I think.
No, I was definitely.
Gargano and Ciampa, I think, are a little smaller, actually. When I saw them together,
they looked like, I don't know. Well, they said they want to start on the bottom, so might as well start with the smallest guy on the roster. Right. So.
You just can't help yourself. You were watching Raw the other day, and you just were. I was like, Joe, you're being a hater. You're like, I'm not being a hater. And about 10 things later, you're like, you know, I'm being kind of a hater. I'm enjoying it.
It was fun. It was fun.
You would just say something. I'd just look over at you, giggle. I'd go back to the TV, and you'd say something.
I didn't know they made, like, wrestling gear in preschooler sizes. I didn't know.
God damn it. But it was a good match.
Come see me March 6th. I want to be your funniest person in Grand Rapids, everybody. You can hear better jokes than those ones.
Come see me March 20th. I also want to see your be your funniest person in GR.
Are we doing gratuitous self-promotion? You damn right we're doing some gratuitous self-promotion.
Mine was supposed to be January 30th. Uh-huh. That didn't happen.
No? What happened?
It was blowing harder
than
Sasha Grey in the mid-2000s.
Oh,
so they had to postpone it.
I've heard that somewhere.
Hopefully by March 20th, the weather is greener than the Emerald City.
Yeah, yeah. Hear great jokes like that on March 6th, everybody.
Yeah.
Out of my mouth. First ever WWE Women's Tag Team Champions.
That's not true. Okay. There were Women's Tag Team Champions before. Many years before.
WWE ones?
Technically, it wasn't during the WWE.
I'm just going based on the information I'm given.
It's weird. It's one of those odd WWE things where they're like, yeah, there's been women's tag team champions before, but they acknowledge them, but also say first ever. They're like talking about both sides of their mouth.
Yeah, I don't.
It's been damn near 40
in
40 years.
Yeah, say in my history of watching WWE.
Oh, there's never been. It would have been.
The closest thing they had was the Knockout Tag Team Champions.
It would have been damn close to WWWF. But
yeah, which would have been the Worldwide Wrestling Federation. Yeah. So yeah, before my time.
Vince.
And I believe I've heard the WWE say that. That's why I don't just spew those things out.
Vince McMahon Sr. would have been running the company at that time.
Yeah. So how do you feel about this?
I mean, I don't like it being Sasha and Bayley.
Yeah. We had an interesting talk about Sasha and Bayley.
Shut the fuck up, Chris.
No, Bayley, you're not a fan.
I feel like I never liked Sasha very well.
Yeah.
I feel like Bayley, my issue with Bayley is she had a gimmick that worked in NXT. It had a following. Didn't translate super well to the main roster, which is, again, something we're kind of running into.
Yeah. I personally like Bayley's gimmick. I think she's a 80s baby face in the 2019. She's got the Randy Savage, like, sashes on. She's got, like, the face paint.
She's colorful.
Yeah.
You have a colorful baby face.
Yes, absolutely.
That sounds bland as all hell.
Why do you hate fun, Chad?
I don't hate fun.
That's not what I'm hearing.
Good wrestling is
Calm
fun.
Calm down, Cornette.
how Cornette feels about Bayley.
So, Sasha, go ahead.
Sasha's terrible.
Why is Sasha terrible?
I don't feel like going into the whole thing.
Don't feel like
just
going into the whole thing?
Just listen to every episode of podcast I've ever been on. That said, I will say this.
She's terrible for reasons, guys.
Well, hang on. I will say this, and I'll be the first one to admit, I don't want to ever give Sasha Banks credit for anything.
Oh, okay.
I feel like right now, I find Sasha Banks has more personality than Bayley has. That's how bland I find Bayley. Sasha Banks is personally I find kind of not very endearing. Her wrestling's
some would
bad.
Say it's ratchet.
Yeah, Sasha is.
Some would
Sasha
say that.
Is.
Some
ratchet.
Would say I have heard that. I don't know if I wouldn't say I'm saying it, but I've heard.
Well, I'm saying
people.
I am saying Sasha is ratchet.
Okay, well
that's it. At least she has a personality. I feel like Bayley is stone personalityless.
She's a face, and she's always been a face, and she's always going to be a face. She's the female John Cena.
I feel like John Cena at least had some clever things to say once in a while. Like, Cena was pretty bland there for a while, too. Super Cena got real annoying.
Yeah,
at least he could cut a promo that could make you chuckle a couple of times.
Bayley makes people happy. It's got its place.
Bayley makes 10-year-olds and creepy 26-year-olds happy.
Well, they're part of your audience, unfortunately. I don't know. I'm like, I'm okay with it. Like, it sells tickets. I understand why the Bayley.
I don't think Bayley could draw flies with a mouthful of shit.
Whoa, that is the hot.
That's
take.
The hot.
So
take.
So far, in this
I don't think. Bayley,
I thought it was gonna be me.
I don't think.
Bayley, I thought I was gonna have the hot take this episode.
I don't think Bayley's a draw.
Wow.
I would love to see her merch numbers. I really don't think Bayley sells merch. I think that you
I,
her. I
would,
think her.
I would.
I think that anybody that is coming to the show to see Bayley is coming for something else. I think there may be if she's drawing anyone, it's 6-year-old girls that are coming because they're coming with somebody else. I think the dudes that are with Bayley, nah. Well, they're there for something else. And they're being weird.
You don't think they're gonna buy a Bayley t-shirt?
Not before they buy any other t-shirt. No.
I disagree.
I think I've met a handful of people, and they're buying other products too. Bailey's
headgear sell. I know that. I've seen those in the audience at least. We'll check this out. We'll maybe do some research.
I don't think Bailey's a draw. I think that there's way better. I don't think she's selling tickets, man. Okay. I don't think Bailey equals ratings.
Oh.
She's safer in the ring than Sasha.
They balance each other out. They're a good tag team.
She seems less off-putting in real life.
Yeah.
That's the best I can do with it.
Should have been the Riot Squad, is my opinion, the whole tag team thing. But that's not really a hot take. I don't think that's nearly as entertaining as whatever you just said.
Should have been. You were expecting I'm like, to stir ready some to people up by seeing the Riot Squad.
I'm sorry you didn't win, Liv.
I quadrupled down on it.
Yep. I'm like, all right.
Fucking heat-seeking here.
Yep. Dean Ambrose is losing to everybody.
He beat EC3.
Small package.
Yeah, it was
in GR, but he lost to Drew like clean this week.
Well,
he's on his way out.
So we know he's on his way out.
This is very old school.
He lost to EC3.
Yeah,
and then he beat EC3 with a small package before that match.
Yeah,
comes in the ring, cuts a one sentence promo.
Yeah,
Seth Rollins looks confused like a motherfucker.
Oh yeah.
Apparently he wasn't supposed to cut that promo.
Yeah, he was
supposed
not.
To
we
say,
talked about it a little
supposed
bit.
To say a lot more.
Yeah, like. And then I don't know if he's supposed to go sit in that chair or whatever.
It
looked very confusing. Watching it live, I'm like, I don't really understand the purpose of that.
Seth Rollins cuts the promo with Paul Heyman. Dean Ambrose comes out and just goes, "Well, slay the beast, man," and goes and plops down the timekeeper's area.
Yep. Seth Rollins, he had a match, and I'm like, that was really weird.
it was odd. And I think that it's from my understanding is that that's all rumor mill that Dean didn't want to cut the promo they gave him. So he cut the promo he wanted.
Went into business for himself.
It sounds like from there, they're turning him face. He was a face on Raw when he faced against Drew McIntyre, and Drew McIntyre basically had a squash match with him.
Mm-hmm.
Dean got a few shots in, maybe 20 seconds of offense in the whole match, and then ate a Claymore that looked terrible and
got pinned. Always looks terrible as far as I'm concerned.
I really feel like the Claymore doesn't always look terrible.
You and I have. I feel like the Glasgow Kiss is better.
No, hang on. I feel like I definitely agree that sometimes that Claymore does look really bad.
I don't like it.
I don't think it constantly looks bad, though.
All right, well, that's like
that
your
one
opinion, man.
Did look bad.
It did.
Dean looked like a geek in that match.
He definitely did. He definitely did.
But you know, you're right. It does seem very old school. We know Dean's on the way out, and he's just doing jobs. He's gonna put some guys over, and he's gonna leave.
It's a noble thing right there, I think, but I don't think he should be going into
business. It's the right way.
Should not be going into business by himself, though. That's not the right way.
Yeah, my guess would be...
Like, if you have a problem
like
with it...
Sounds like he's done after April. I don't know how much longer they're going to be giving him a live mic. Like, yeah, if they're concerned that he's going to go into business for himself and not say what they tell him to say, I don't know how often they're going to give him a mic.
Renee works for the company. Like, I don't feel like... Him sabotaging, like, their product would be... It would hurt his wife's career, I'm assuming.
I mean, Tavis has a product. I honestly don't necessarily think that him being released would hurt her too bad.
Not him being released, but if he was to go into business by himself, to a point...
He did right, wrong, or indifferent, that would get her heat, too.
Which is unfair.
But it is unfair. Also, I mean, who's to say whether Renee wants to stay? Dean's going somewhere, let's say Dean goes to AEW, maybe Renee would want to do something with him there, and I was sure they'd have her.
Yeah, well, that's interesting, especially since like all the cheating going on in pro wrestling right now.
The what?
All the cheating going on in pro wrestling.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about, you know, cheating to win matches. I'm talking about cheating on your spouse. It's Corey Graves.
Yeah.
Talking to you.
Well, something I read. So that Corey Graves has been pretty wild on Twitter in the past couple of months.
Oh, yeah?
I don't know when CM Punk lost his last fight. But basically, Corey Graves went on like a drunken rant about how CM Punk turned his back on all the boys, and it would seem very like, why don't we talk anymore? And then the other night, he went on a rant about how like it's something effective, like people just don't try hard. Like if you're poor, it means you're lazy, and try harder. And it was a very strange rant. Also, like started like just chewing out certain like wrestling like journalists for no real reason. It was very like a drunken rant.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day it came out that He had been cheating on his wife with Carmella. Caught a bunch of heat for that. But his wife posted like the screenshots
on Instagram. Yeah,
they I guess it sounds like she has access to his iCloud or whatever, so she could see.
Oh wow,
their like personal conversations.
Jeez.
So it looked really bad for him, but then it came out like the next day that they've been separated for a long time, and like the divorce is just about final. So I mean, that's up to you to debate how okay that is, but it's certainly better than like. He was leaving the house to go, they were happily,
the initial reaction to that was
I think that people maybe read it as a little bit more than it was. I'm not here to say he did the right thing, but it certainly looked better for him than, I'm happily married and have kids and I'm doing this than, we're a month from divorced anyway, officially. So I think he maybe caught more heat than that than he had coming. I said Corey is kind of a dick.
No way.
Most successful man out with a neck tattoo, though. I still want to tell him that. He won't take it the right way.
He will not.
I mean it as a compliment. I genuinely do.
He won't take it.
He'll think I'm being schmarmy, and I'm not.
That's my job, to be schmarmy.
It sure is. You do a great job.
I know. So, Aleister Black beat Elias on Raw, and Aleister Black's got a cool entrance. I've never seen him before.
He would be before your time in NXT. Like him a lot. One of the best strikers in NXT, or NWE, currently.
It's been so far so good is how I would describe all of the NXT guys moving up. Like, this current batch.
I would say...
So far so good. None of them have been like, I wish they didn't do that.
Yeah, I think the match with Elias didn't seem great for Aleister Black.
Didn't seem great for Elias either.
No, I would say that those two styles do not mesh super well. First of all, I think Elias is a great character. He's got all the charisma in the world. He's a fucking rock star.
Yeah, we were talking about...
He's great.
If Elias gets counted out there or loses by DQ, I feel like that would have been better.
I don't think Elias is that good between the ropes. Like, I don't think he's terrible.
He's all right. But he can drop an elbow or two, but he's not
much flash.
He's not the best.
And he doesn't... I think that Aleister Black needed someone to make him look like $1 million by selling. Elias was not doing that.
He fought Andrade on...
and that match was way... That match was way better.
It was better. It was better. It wasn't the Mysterio Andrade matches that we've seen from him earlier on, but like...
I think
there's a lot of potential.
I think it was a well above average match. I think that putting Elias and Aleister Black together was a mistake. I think that they both made each other look pretty bad.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. If 3 months down the road you have that match, sure, whatever. But it was literally his debut on Raw. Mm-hmm. Put him against someone that's gonna make him look like a god. Why would you do that?
Well, the thing with this is like he's the only one of them guys that doesn't have like a belt that they moved up, isn't he?
No, I mean, he was NXT champ.
No, but right now, he's...
Now that is Ricochet.
Okay, that's right.
So here's the thing.
Right.
Aleister Black was NXT champ. Then Tommaso Ciampa is NXT champ. Ricochet held the North American title. Gargano is the North American champ.
And now I'm all spoiled, thanks.
Yeah. At this point, I can do nothing to help you. It's all relevant.
It's fine. No, I got really pissed at Michael Cole. He literally gave out the results to a match.
You're ready to lie. You're like, it's up next.
Fucking cock.
You were really angry.
I needed one more reason to hate fucking Michael Cole.
Yeah, I think, though, if they're going to have guys going between NXT and the main roster, especially if they do like an invasion angle where not only is what happening on like Raw and SmackDown with the NXT superstars, but maybe what's happening on NXT with main roster guys is relevant.
Yeah.
You may have to figure something out of how to keep up with that, because the NXT may become way more important to the main roster product than NXT.
I know. I may have to catch up way faster than I want to.
I also think that may get guys to, I don't know how the network subscription numbers are doing. But if you start making NXT relevant to Raw and SmackDown, what's happening every week, it'll increase NXT's viewership on the network a lot.
And that'll sell subscriptions.
Sure will. I've heard WWE might even want to raise their subscription price.
What? That's outrageous.
I mean, it's something they do.
That's outrageous.
I've been at WWE Network since day one-ish.
Yep, me too. It's 5 years.
Yep.
5 years since the network's been out.
5 years since next Mania.
I'll say it right now. My life changed when I got the WWE Network.
If the WWE Network would have been invented when I was 10 years old, when I started watching wrestling, I would have never done anything else in my time. No, I would have never done anything else.
Nope.
I would have watched every hour of content on that thing. Like,
I'm still working on it.
I still watch a ton of it, but I don't know that I ever... I mean, I watch... You, I bet you did the same thing I did. You had 10 wrestling DVDs, and you watched them each 100 times.
Incorrect. I have hundreds of wrestling DVDs.
But when you were like a kid?
When I was younger, I had VHS tapes.
Sure. Did you do the same thing with those? You watched those a bunch of times?
I had probably 20 tapes of both WCW and WWE stuff, and I would also grew up during the Monday Night Wars.
Sure.
So that there was that, and I would record some of that, and then I would rewatch that. Yeah. You know what I mean?
So Raw was Mondays, SmackDowns were Thursdays. I didn't get to order the pay per views as a kid; those were 50 a pop.
No,
My parents weren't going for that.
Every once in a while, I would sneak over to a friend's house who would have it.
So often, I could talk my parents into one of them.
Really?
But maybe one or two a year was the best I could do.
Trebuchet's Dutch parents said absolutely not.
I mean, I paid for a few of them too. A 15-year-old Chad with his terrible, not having much of an income was just shelling out money for him. But yeah, it was, I feel like if I had that network available and never did anything else, I feel like it would be super cool if they grandfathered people in and not have to pay more. They won't do that.
Never, that's not the way things
work. I know, that's capitalism. Netflix did that for a while, where if you were locked in at the price, but then raise it, and if you canceled, you had to pay the new price.
Yeah, well.
That said, I'd pay $15 or $20 a month for the network.
Yeah.
I don't want to, but I'd do it.
It's worth it.
Especially with the pay-per-views on it.
Absolutely. I'll tell you this right now. I probably would have missed even more time from school if I had the WWE Network growing up.
I agree. I
would have literally went back and watched all of the 80s wrestling.
Yeah.
All of that. I would have been through all the WrestleManias, all the Royal Rumbles, all the SummerSlams, and all the Survivor Series at least.
Yeah.
At least, because I own the entire anthology of the 2003. I know I've watched all those at least four times. I know WrestleMania 20, there's almost a whole year of that. Countless Impact DVDs.
I think about 2 years ago, I started going back and watching, basically from the Invasion angle.
Yeah.
And I'm in 2003 now. Mm-hmm. And I literally, I'll play video games. I've got, got two TVs set up. I got an Ari Bachelor
Band. Whoa, look at you.
Play video games on one, watch the network on the other.
Baller. Okay.
Yes, right.
Pimping ain't easy, right?
Ladies, come on over. Yeah, I know very little about pimping, but I've consulted with Big Daddy Kane and The Godfather. Apparently, pimping is not, in fact, easy.
Okay. Glad we got that cleared up. We're bringing you guys the hot knowledge.
Absolutely.
The undisputed podcast of the world.
Ding,
pimping ain't easy.
Why are you using your Morning Zoo voice?
Because it was an Ice Tea song at one of the WrestleManias. true statement.
Was it really?
Yeah. He brought the Godfather out to the ring, and it went, pimpin' ain't easy, man. Pimpin' ain't easy, man.
What year were this?
I want to say it was one of the teen manias.
Okay. I would probably say 15 or 16.
Yeah, it was in that area.
That's a hot trivia question. What year did Ice-T perform at WrestleMania?
Yeah. Might have even been 2000. I'm thinking it was
WrestleMania 2000 was the year they made a rap song for WrestleMania.
Yeah, it very well may have been WrestleMania 2000. I remember that distinctly because that was all about the Ho train back in the day. I grew up as an adolescent watching the Attitude Era. And let me tell you, I was a huge fan of all this stuff. And I definitely would have watched a couple of Sable Bombs on there as well.
Mm.
And a couple of... definitely would have watched that mud wrestling thing they had on SmackDown a couple times. But also a bunch of classic matches and, gimmicks. And... I probably would have went back as far as the Shockmaster, at least, in the WCW stuff.
Honestly, one of the things I enjoy isn't even watching, obviously, watching classic matches is fun. Yeah. But what I enjoy is, watching, the 2003 and 4 gimmicks that, I vaguely remember.
Yeah.
Like, hey, do you remember Nathan Jones for 3 weeks?
The Australian?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, going to, oh, this is where he started, and this is where he fell the fuck off.
Yep.
Honestly, the only thing that makes it a little harder is if, I think some Sunday Night Heats are on there.
Yeah.
They don't have the Velocities.
Oh.
If they had the Sunday Night Heats and Velocities on there.
Yeah.
That would make doing that particular activity easier. I don't know that anybody would watch them.
That's fair.
I've heard that some of the archive stuff, WWE has very low watch numbers. Some of it hasn't ever been watched.
Oh, wow.
I'm working on it. Some of those Sunday Night Heats, no one's watched them. They're not the...
Throwaways kind of sometimes anyway.
Oh, absolutely. But if you wanted to find, hey, do you remember And do you want to see, like, this one wrestler who had a weird gimmick for 4 weeks on Sunday Heat? It's just a kind of weird deep dive.
Yeah, because, like, it never got over to the main roster, probably. Like,
yeah, or stuff. Just, like follow, like, Sean O'Hare right now, who I just thought was interesting. Like, that he did, like, the devil on your shoulder gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
You just basically start. He's here. He's doing his vignettes. He disappears for a minute. He comes back with Piper. Piper cuts a really bad shoot promo. That wasn't even a shoot promo. It was like an interview, like for the news.
Yep.
Gets fired, and Sean O'Hare basically goes away.
Yeah.
You just kind of like, oh, what happened to this career? This guy I vaguely remember, or Mordecai. Remember Mordecai?
Vaguely.
Who ended up being Kevin Thorne?
Yeah. The vampire. I'm currently watching the Hall of Fames right now, and
fantastic.
It's amazing to because right now I just did the one where Eddie Guerrero got inducted, and oh boy,
oh try.
I had some tears. I'm not gonna lie, grown trebuchets. How do you get tears from them? Hall of Fame ceremonies. Holy cow, man. Jeez, and it's amazing to watch how far that came. Like it was at a small ballroom, and now it's at arenas. It's at Barclays Center this year.
Yeah, they... Like,
it's a big deal. I'm very honored and proud that I got to go to one. That was amazing. I'm super
fucking jealous of you.
It was one of my just proudest moments of my life, being able to go to that and witness
The first... The one that didn't before WrestleMania 20 was like the first Hall of Fame induction thing they'd had since the 80s.
Yeah.
They put the 80s, they had the initial class, and then literally 20 years later... Yeah. They had...
I think it was the 90s, because Andre died, and then they inducted
him. Was it like early 90s?
93, I want to say it was.
Okay,
and then enough. Yeah.
But they, so several years later, they had the WrestleMania 21, and yeah, that's at, like, a banquet hall, almost. Like, yeah. It obviously looked very nice.
It was very
nice. But it was, there wasn't fans in attendance, it was the boys.
Yeah.
Not even all of them.
Now, fans get the privilege to sit in on this, and, like, I really wish that I had... worn, like, dressed up for it. You know what I mean?
Because yeah.
I was younger and, yeah, like, all full of piss and vinegar.
All juggalo'd up.
I was very Austin-esque, and I wanted to see HBK in the main event. I think he was taking on John Cena.
Yeah, Shawn Michaels, and Cena.
My buddy with me wanted to see The Undertaker and Batista. And,
was that when they did the title match at Mania?
The Taker won the Rumble, so it was
for the title, Taker for the World title. Okay,
yeah.
Yep, I was just
trying to remember. I was very proud.
I thought
I thought that was going to be The Undertaker's last run as the World Champion, and oh boy, was I way wrong on that one. He still may have one run left in him. Who knows,
He's not working for the company. Actually, I heard Vince isn't too thrilled. He's doing show. He's going to be at StarCast before he... before Double or Nothing.
Yeah.
There's actually talk he may be at Double or Nothing.
Interesting.
They
dude, if that happens.
For All or Nothing.
That is
for All or Nothing, they had the over budget battle royal where they just brought in as many stars as they could to be in battle royal.
Yeah.
Loose talk. He's gonna be a star cast before. He could come.
So
he could be a Double or Nothing. That would be a pretty big coup, even if it's just for that one night. Like, to have The Undertaker, a certified WWE guy.
They wouldn't be able to call him The Undertaker, would they?
I think he has rights to it.
Does he?
I'm pretty sure.
Oh, that's cool. I'm like, he's done it for so long.
I feel like somewhere down the line in contract negotiations, he had to have gone, okay, I'll resign, but I want the rights to my name for when I retire.
That's fair.
So I can get an autograph. Oh, because you can't book an autograph signing under your Undertaker either if you don't own the rights to it. Wow. They have ways around it. Like, they can call you, like, you'd be like formally known as The Undertaker, but you can't. It's interesting.
Yeah. Instead of just Undertaker, right? The Undertaker.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm sure they have a field day with that in court.
So, all right, back to Raw here, I guess. We got a little bit off tangent, a little bit. They were talking about the network and all that good stuff. Yeah, I hope to get through all of it at some point. And, like, if I live long enough to my retiring years, and I go, I smoke a lot of weed in my free time.
Sure.
And I've told people on this podcast that if that happens, show me the Monday Night Wars in the order that it happened with the pay-per-views. I will be the happiest person in the world. That's what I want.
I mean, you could, if we win the lottery and have millions and never have to work again, you and I can just sit and do that. Just...
That's a happy way to get there.
Start at the first episode of Nitro and just go back and forth. Raw Nitro, then throw in your Thunders and your SmackDowns and your pay-per-views.
Yeah, because you can't go Nitro Raw, because Nitro will spoil the fucking result of Raw.
Yep.
Yep, that's a true fact. That's a pro move for all you guys listening out there right now. Do not watch Nitro first. You will be disappointed when you watch Raw.
I feel like watching those 2000 era Nitros would be fucking painful.
There's a whole podcast dedicated to that.
I'm pretty sure
the Ryback just told me.
Yeah, no.
All right, back to this. I knew we were trying to segue back. The Raw Women's Champion Ronda Rousey defeated Ruby Riott in a better match than what then was at Elimination Chamber.
So that, because that confused me. I think we discussed all this. It's confusing.
It found
the Elimination Chamber match was pretty much a squash match.
Yeah, dude.
For Ronda.
The rest of the Riott Squad wasn't out there.
Yeah, but
the first time.
Yeah, but the Raw rematch was a good match. Ruby got some offense.
The whole Riott Squad went a little longer.
Ronda was selling well for Ruby until the end of the match when she stopped selling after the bell rang, which fucking annoys me.
Yeah, that's annoying me too.
But during the match, she was selling well. Ruby got some good offense in. She got a couple of good Riott kicks. Made Ruby look like a star. Mm-hmm. And I can understand that if they didn't do that on Elimination Chamber because they thought the show was going to run too long.
Yeah.
But that show ended like 45 minutes earlier than it
normally does. I was so mad about that.
Well, don't book your comedy shows for pay-per-view.
No, that was on me. I'm very high in demand, and I'm sorry. But
you're very high. It was two separate thoughts. Like, no. Very high and in demand.
Sometimes they're the same thing. So, anything else you want to say about Raw before we segue into the SmackDown Hotel?
No, I think I should do it for Raw.
Okay. Let's open up with the Shane and the Miz are going to keep this tag team going.
Sure.
They got another shot.
Very emotional promo. Miz all in his feelings.
I love it.
You started getting all in your feelings. Yeah. I got in my feelings.
Yeah, it happens. The Miz is a great pro wrestler. He gets me to fucking just feel my feels, and that's hard. It's just fucking amazing. They got a rematch at Fastlane,
yeah.
The Miz's hometown of Cleveland, Ohio.
The Miz and Shane weren't sure if they were going to do it, and the Usos came out and talked some shit about Miz, and that got Shane all fired up.
Shane's like, don't be talking about my boy like that. And then another thing, the Miz's dad is going to be ringside at this thing. So
I'm sure Mr. Miz.
Mr. Miz will be something. Who's better, Mr. Miz or Mr. Sacco?
Easily Mr. Sacco. And you know how I feel about stuff like that.
I know, that's why I asked.
Mr. Miz gives the mullet a bad name.
What's better, Mr. Miz or John Cena's dad?
I actually like John Cena's dad.
You fucking would. Who the fuck are you? You can kiss my whole ass, Showtime. This is, of course, a fucking course. Like, that fucking makes the most goddamn sense in the whole world. Oh, I love John Cena's dad. Fuck you. Fuck you, man.
All right, so some backstory here. I've never discussed John Cena's dad with Trebuchet ever. It has never come up once since I was not aware of what the minefield I was walking into. I did not realize John Cena Sr. was this much of a hot topic.
Miz's dad, way better.
Who hurt you?
John Cena's wrestling. It was a very, very frustrating time for me to be a wrestling fan back then. And I have never been a fan of Bostonians. Or Westchesterans, whatever they want to call themselves.
West Newbarians.
Oh, whatever. So, I clearly have some daddy issues.
Yeah, you know, you want to go out sometime?
What? Yeah, that's why we're friends.
Did I stutter?
Yeah. No, you're not. But, no, I believe Mr. Miz is going to screw this whole thing up.
I agree.
I don't like it. I don't like the fact that I know he's going to be there. I would have liked that to have been revealed a little bit later.
Yeah, no, honestly, I wouldn't know. I didn't want to know at all. I think the idea of, like, Miz's dad being backstage before and like, let me come out with you guys, and like,
that would have been cool.
Miz being like,
or him being out there and then the fans being like, oh, that's Miz's dad, like have him give him a hug or something.
Yeah, no, you know, I think I think they spoiled it way too early.
Yeah.
But I would like to have been a night of decision.
Yeah.
Keep people interested. Then again, it may they may be doing it for like a the Miz and Mrs.
I was just going to say, this is a great angle for
that. May be it may be a vehicle for that where like it doesn't make sense to us if we're not currently watching it, but if you do, it might make sense.
So if Mr. Miz starts wrestling as Mullet Man, are you going to be all right with that?
If he gets booked in a hair v. hair match and loses, yes.
Whose hair would he fight up against?
If you were going to book a hair versus hair match right now, who's it? That's a good question.
I know. The WWE used to be the land of the mains. Like, Triple H, hair, Edge, always did the hair
I feel thing. Like,
even Christian, I feel hair like, thing,
so
Jericho,
so
hair.
So who has, like, very notable-looking hair right now? I feel like Sheamus, obviously, has, like, the mohawk. That he lose that.
Drew McIntyre has
some locks.
Seth Rollins.
They all have the same look. Elias. I feel like Elias would be the most likely to get in a hair versus hair match because of like the vanity of his character.
Kofi.
Tyler Breeze. Likely hair versus hair because of his gimmick.
Yeah, yeah. No, Tyler Breeze, that'd be a great way to fucking get Tyler Breeze relevant.
Have him in a hair versus hair match?
Have him lose the hair versus hair match and just be like, I've lost my beauty, remove
Miz's dad from it. Honestly, I think, yeah, having if you want to get Tyler Breeze interesting,
yeah,
have him lose his hair, do something different, mm-hmm. I don't know, break his nose, turn into Dr. Doom like they did with Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
He was literally Dr. Doom for a while.
You're right.
Broke his nose, turned into Dr. Doom.
Quick, I want to circle back to Raw real quick here. What were we just talking about?
Hair versus hair matches. Before that, Mrs. Dad.
No, who were making relevant? Yeah, man,
Tyler Breeze. That prop one though.
Oh yeah, I don't remember now. Well, there. I'm off the rails.
What?
You got me all fired.
Do you remember? Do you remember who we were talking about? I've got this thing I want to say about him. This is who we were talking about. Well, I don't remember what I was going to say about him.
I'm going to re-listen to the podcast and be like, damn it.
Yeah, he's going to be real mad about this.
Yeah, I will. I'll be pissed. Be sure to check my Twitter. I'll let you guys know who I was. Wanted to talk about.
Yeah, you can see that at Trebuchet LOL.
Absolutely.
I'll be responding from Showtime Shorts.
Absolutely. So,
Aleister Black versus Andrade.
We talked about that a little bit. That match was all right.
That was a good match. I think they made each other look a lot better than they did.
Yep. Yes, they did. And this laptop died, so we're going to go off the top of the dome here. Hope we don't miss anything.
Let's blame Chris for that.
That's fine.
Send your email that go.
Yeah, some champion doesn't even plug the laptop in. But I want to talk about the tag match they had on SmackDown between
Gargano and Ciampa versus The Bar.
Yeah.
They don't just raise the bar. They are the bar.
Well, apparently Ciampa and Gargano wanted to break the bar, is what they said.
They sure did.
And then the bar laughed in their face. But I want to talk specifically about that spot where they were coming off the top rope. And,
yeah, it looked like they were for like a sunset flip kind
Sheamus
of powerbomb.
Landed right, or just like right.
Ciampa has a bad knee. He got a bum wheel.
Yep.
And Sheamus landed right on top of it, like knee. He's basically, it hurt like
a, it was like a sunset flip powerbomb. Is what
yeah,
he was
and they
for.
Landed really strangely.
Yeah.
Looked like it fucked both of them up.
Yeah.
Because Ciampa's leg landed funny, and his knee went right into the back of Sheamus. Sheamus looked like he almost could have got like a stinger.
Yeah.
Oh,
I remember what the Raw thing was. Mojo Rawley.
Yeah,
is done again. Like we had those like
we had a promo at Elimination Chamber.
Did he
in the pre-show?
But he wasn't on this episode of Raw, was he?
No, he wasn't.
Yeah,
he did have another vignette.
That was the thing. That's why I forgot.
Mojo had a vignette during the pre-show. I don't think it's gonna go anywhere. But yeah,
I've called that from a mile. You're like this Mojo singles run is done before it even gets started.
No, I haven't been watching main event. He could potentially have done something on main event.
Okay.
If new Mojo makes it to Raw or SmackDown, I would be shocked.
That's fair.
I'm not going to put any money on it. Last time I made a bet, John Cena has to die for me to cash in on it. I'm done making wrestling
and
bets.
And we ain't
for
talking John Cena Sr. either.
Nope. I don't want John Cena Sr. to die. I like him.
I don't want him to die either. I'm not a fan, but I don't wish death upon him.
That's fair.
I'm not taking that hot take.
I want you to out hot take me this episode.
I'm not taking that. Babe.
Anything shy of wishing death on John Cena's dad is probably gonna do it. I bet you that John Cena would not win the world title ever again, and I did not realize at the time we did not put a cap on that, meaning that until John Cena dies.
Yep.
I can't cash in on that bet.
That is correct.
I don't want that to happen to John Cena. I'm sorry I did that. that it's going to be a very bittersweet beer I win that day.
That's right. All right, but somebody else also not on TV, Rusev and Lana. Like, were they on TV on SmackDown at all?
They were not on SmackDown.
I heard they got taken off of Total Divas as well.
Yeah, well, so they sound like they got taken off Total Divas.
I know Lana's been spouting off on Twitter.
Yeah, Lana's been Lana's been running her mouth.
I can relate. I do that.
Well, she does.
Yeah, well, so do I. That's
my understanding was is that the idea was that Rusev and Lana would make good for TV, would make good TV because they are. Rusev is a big sarcastic schmarmy guy who I think is funny.
get out of here.
Lana is his way too hot wife who gets him in a bunch of trouble by talking too much.
Who I think is beautiful.
Matt and Rebby Sky have a very Matt Hardy Rebby Sky have a very similar relationship.
Do I hear double date in the future?
Please no, I don't think
that in my life. I'd watch that on Total Divas. You can just delete the episode.
Yes. The idea was that
watch it on Rusev
because day. He's stop. He,
it'll be the best. It'll be number one. All right. I'm good. Ow!
I threw a water bottle at Trebuchet. People can't see what's happening.
That's right.
The idea was is that because they're kind of hard to get along with, that they'd be good TV on Total Divas. It sounds like the problem is the producers don't like them either.
Oh, no.
Because it's not... WWE doesn't produce that show. E! Network does.
You have to be so terrible to not be tolerable by a reality TV show producer.
I would say that a reality TV show...
Unless it's Kris Jenner. There's my hot take.
Well, I mean, Kris Jenner, I think, actually has something to do with Total Divas.
I think
her fingerprints are on that show
her
somewhere.
Her name is on the credits at the
end.
Yeah,
I don't know how much hands-on stuff she does. I think her company.
The TV is very Kardashian-esque.
E-Network is very Kardashian-based. But from my guess is that reality show producers want to put up a lot of guff. Yeah. Probably not willing to put up from a lot of guff from Rusev. It's like if a sawed off drunk girl is gonna yell at you as a TV producer, you're just like, get out of my face.
Yeah.
If Rusev gets pissed, he's bigger. Like they're gonna feel threatened by that in a way they may not like. That having giant dudes probably puts a different perspective on it than for other reality TV. That said, yeah, so they're not on there. Lana's been shooting her mouth off on Twitter about the product in general. My understanding is that let's see here. I think that Rusev and Shinsuke are booked against Tommaso Ciampa and Gargano for this coming SmackDown, but I could be wrong.
What? I thought they were only tagging together one time.
We both knew that wasn't
happening. I know how to count to one. I know Mike Chioda does it, but I know how to count to one.
Trebuchet was saying that day they tag together, he's like, this better be a one-off deal. And then one of them literally said, we're only doing this one time. You're like, well, fuck, they're winning the title.
Fucking bullshit.
But they had a good match. Very physical. I think my understanding is that both Sheamus and Ciampa are fine. Looked like an ugly spot, but I think they just a little bruised up, but they're fine.
Oh, they were definitely feeling it.
I think they both sold it pretty well too. Like they knew it. That's another thing too. Something looks bad and sloppy. Just sell it like it killed you, and you'll make it look good.
Yeah, I'd be like, I don't know if that was supposed to happen. Those are the best moments in pro wrestling.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's part of the script.
Honestly, that it's very possible that move just looks sloppy.
Yeah,
and rather than sell it as a sloppy move, they go, "We're gonna both sell that that broke your back and my knee." Recognize it looks sloppy, but dangerous to the fans rather than hating and love it.
You both came off the top rope. You both absorbed some impact from that. You might as well both sell that it hurt.
Yeah,
like
especially because it looked bad enough to where we both got some damage from it. The more we sell that it killed us, the less they'll remember the move looked bad, and the more that it looked like we were hurt.
Exactly.
They'll think we were hurt and not sloppy, and that it makes wrestling look real and not fake. At that opportunity, you can go, we can make the product look silly by not selling this, or we can make the product look very real and go, sometimes you don't land right, and it really hurts you. Made the right decision. They made the Cornette decision.
Okay. Man, if you run his dick any harder, you'd be a condom.
I don't know. We should have had some Timbits before
We definitely should have.
We messed up.
I just watched the Michigan-Michigan State game, okay? I'm a little bit moody today. Like,
that reminds me.
We gotta get Arby's called, later is what I'm
They called
right
Aleister
now.
Black moody on Raw when he debuted.
Did they? They called him something else, too.
They keep calling him the Dutch Destroyer.
That sounds like a bad sex move.
It sounds,
it really does.
It sounds awful. He is from the Netherlands. Like, he's genuinely...
So are my ancestors. That's my people.
Yeah. No, I'm saying, first of all, I don't think Aleister Black should talk.
I haven't heard him talk yet.
He can get away with a strong silent type thing. He doesn't cut a great promo.
No.
He can talk okay, but Vince doesn't like accents, and he has a pretty noticeable Dutch accent.
Okay.
But we've also, Ricochet is killing it.
Yeah.
Both of the matches he was in, he was, team with Balor.
Wait, hear me out. So I'm currently on WWE product.
Yeah.
It's Double J, Ricochet. Is it time for Trebuchet? I think it might be. How good does that sound together, Showtime, huh?
I'm not gonna.
Pretty good?
I'll start on main event.
I'll go to NXT. I don't care.
I'm not encouraging.
Why not? Like, it rhymes. That has to be true. Nah. Has to be true.
Besides, Double J shouldn't be on TV.
I agree, but I should. So
that's,
I'm willing to sacrifice
that's a
my time.
J-A-double-R-E-double-T.
That translates to B-A-double-D.
But no, Ricochet was both on Raw and SmackDown. Team with Finn Balor against Lashley and Leo. Had a great match. And then on SmackDown, he went against Andrade, right?
Yeah.
I think that he's got huge upside. I think that he's done really well. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, no, Black was on.
Yeah, Aleister Black fought Andrade. Ricochet fought somebody. Somebody.
This is kind of embarrassing.
So, who's Zelina Vega going out with?
Aleister Black.
That's who
Aleister Andrade, Black. Yeah. Aleister Black and Andrade fought.
Okay.
Ricochet had a match. Oh, it was Eric Young.
We're forgetting
Aaron Young even is employed.
I love Eric Young. This was like, you know what I mean?
Eric Young was selling like a motherfucker in that match.
He always has.
He was selling that
was Team Canada shit.
He was selling.
He was doing that shit way back in the day.
Team Canada.
Yeah.
A1, Bobby Roode, Scott DeMore.
Yep, do your homework here, guys. This is the deep cuts episode of the Undisputed Podcast of the World. We're jumping organizations, seems
that way.
Yep, we're just bringing up factions that don't exist or shouldn't have existed at all. Speaking of that, D-Generation X is getting inducted into the Hall of Fame, Showtime. How do you feel about that? that never should have got over. If it wasn't in the 90s, that never would have worked.
No, I agree. It didn't work super great in the mid-2000s,
I did not know you didn't care for that.
I fully admit
they were fighting, like, the Spirit Squad.
Yeah, I fully admit that it was the right decision for business. Ratings were down at that point. DX coming back, just the name of it. They sold tons of those shirts.
I bought two of them.
They sold tons of DX shirts.
There's a theme here from the Undisputed Podcast of the World. If Trebuchet likes somebody, buys two of their shirts.
Yeah. I totally understand why they brought him back. I think that gimmick aged very poorly. That gimmick aged poorly. I think in the 90s it was super edgy, and then mid-2000s they were just making cock jokes and dumping poop on people.
But I liked it because both Triple H and Shawn Michaels evolved as people. And they weren't... They weren't the degenerates they were anymore. They were still... The same people,
they went from like gross teenage antics to like 5-year-old potty gimmicks.
You feel like they went too far back?
Yeah, I almost feel like they should have. I don't think it could. The problem was is that the product needed to be more kid friendly.
Yeah, and it was PG era.
It was PG era, and it needed to be. I don't think we were quite PG era. I think that the product was still TV-14, but they were getting out. They were about ready to jump to PG.
Yeah,
the product was not as edgy, and PC culture said that a lot of that shit you couldn't do anyway without a ton of controversy. Anyway, DX would have never worked outside the 90s. It was a nostalgia act that didn't age super well.
I get
why it happened.
Yep.
They fully deserve being in the Hall of Fame. I'm excited for X-Pac. I'm excited for China. I'm excited for Triple H, Shawn Michaels. I don't really care for Road Dogg super well. Never have. But good for him. Billy Gunn is working for AEW and going in the Hall of Fame this year.
That is the most interesting part of this. Is Billy going to be there? We don't know.
I'm sure he will.
Hopefully he will.
I would be amazed if he wouldn't be. If WWE wouldn't induct him if they didn't want him to be there, and I don't feel like the guys running AEW would tell him he couldn't be there.
Yeah. I'm a fan of the Road Dogg. He's got that ringleader type of voice.
I like him on the mic, but I think in ring he's great bad.
On the mic.
I think in the ring he never impressed me. As far as like an agent and a creative person, he doesn't impress me.
I'm surprised he never took a shot at commentary.
I think the problem with him on commentary is he would overshadow the... He's
too big of a personality. Yeah,
he's too big a personality.
It's like when you put Heyman over there. Heyman's too big.
Yep,
he's drawing all the attention.
Yeah.
No, what happened in that match? You don't know. You're listening to Heyman.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They're great at... To be great at commentary, you need to be able to talk. You need to have a personality. You also have to know how to keep it contained, except for a few moments where you can dial it up to 10 sometimes.
Yep.
But if you can never leave 10... You can't do it, and I feel like Road Dogg's not that interesting if he's not on 10. And if he's on 10, no, you're not paying attention to anything else going on.
Yep, that's fair.
So I think, great on the mic, probably not good for commentary. His creative decisions never really impressed me. Bruce Pritchard is coming back for creative. Head of creative. I love you!
I'm more excited about stay in the back! There's a hurricane coming through, and he's going to do just that. He's going to stay in the back.
It's not stay in the back.
What?
It's stand back.
Is it stand back?
It's
okay.
I think I've heard you do that. Sort of like, I'm pretty sure it's stand back, not stay in the back.
Oh, well, there we go.
That's funny. Huh. No, him.
This is like finding out you've been like quoting a fucking song wrong, for
literally 15 years.
It's Sweet Caroline, not Sweet Christine. What? How many times have you heard me say that? You could have told me this behind the paywall.
I wasn't going to do
no,
that.
No, it's fine. I'm a big fan of Hurricane Helms.
Yeah,
so.
He seems great. Yeah, him, Kazuro Daivari.
I like Daivari. He's good.
Sean Daivari, I guess he goes by now.
Okay.
His real name. And then Abyss.
I'm
now backstage agents. Abyss left TNA last month and is now doing agent work backstage for WWE, which is crazy because he never worked for WWE before.
I know.
I think
the Abyss character is way too violent.
Yeah, he would
Joseph Parks thing would have worked.
That's fucking silly.
I like the silliness, Chad. You know me. Like I like it. That was in WWE, it would have worked. Abyss would not have
I would actually think that the Joseph Park angles were some of the worst. If I was going to rank top 10 silliest angles I hate, Joseph Park's Abyss angle would definitely make
I love the fact that they don't acknowledge each other's existence. I think that's amazing. I think it's amazing. That's good writing.
I want to break down that the run through that storyline sometime. Not today, but I think I'd like to go into it.
That's fine.
We can
have another Impact episode. We should watch an episode and then just go into all the old stuff.
Yeah, Schitt's Creek's on episode on after that. I hear that show's good. Actually, it's not on. They're not on Pop anymore.
Are they not?
They're on some other network, and they're also on Twitch, which is the best. They've got some TV channel no one knows, and then Twitch you can watch them on. No, the thing with Abyss is he's getting up there. I don't know if he could go full time in that ring anymore. He's had a long career that is very physical.
He's taken some big bumps.
Yeah,
Not just like tats and stuff like that. Like high points. High areas for a big guy.
Jim Cornette used to say when he worked for TNA as creative, he'd tell Abyss, "Don't do that."
Yeah,
you're like, this is TV. It's free TV.
Yeah.
Don't take that bump. That is too big a bump for your career to be taken for nothing.
No, he would
do that on pay-per-view. Go where it counts.
I loved him as a fan. Mm. As a fan, I'm like, I gotta see what Abyss does.
And my understanding was that Abyss felt like if he wasn't doing those things, he was robbing the fans. Like, he seemed like a good dude that cared about the fans. Also, he's a very agile big guy.
He's pretty intelligent.
Seems smart. He seems like a company guy. He was coming again for TNA. I'm sure he'll be a company guy for WWE.
Yeah.
WWE's not doing a lot of hardcore stuff anymore. But who of the current era that is you could book as an agent that can still is old, young enough to be an agent, would you want as a hardcore consultant if it was necessary? Mick's not going to do it.
I was going to say, yeah.
Terry's not going to do it.
Terry shouldn't do it.
They're not going to pay Mick the money he'd want for that.
Right.
Terry's too old. God bless him.
Yeah.
He's got no business traveling. Who else could be the hardcore consultant for agents better than Abyss right now?
No, but better than Abyss, that's the argument.
You could
do maybe one of those ECW guys.
Sabu.
Rhino or Van Damme. Maybe.
Yeah, I think
you know what I mean?
Van Damme wants to wrestle. It's a short list. Sabu's still got all sorts of personal problems. He can't.
Yeah.
WWE won't hire him.
Taz, but you're gonna throw a ton of money at him.
Taz didn't do hardcore. Even Van Damme
didn't do
a lot of like heavy weapon spots.
His chair spots were very innovative.
His table spots were literally just him jumping off of things.
Yeah.
He more high flying stuff. You're right. His chair spots were good.
Yeah.
He didn't do like.
Rob Van Dam is a wrestler with a great innovator, but he also could go hardcore.
When I think hardcore wrestling, I don't think Rob Van Dam. No, he definitely ECW can.
Champion.
He definitely can do it. No, you're right.
You know what I mean?
But I mean, Jimmy Snuka was an ECW champion.
That's fair. He was the longest reigning television champion in ECW history. Do I need to get Fonzie in here to tell you why Rob Van Dam is hardcore?
Work with me, Fonzie.
Okay. Tommy Dreamer.
I'm not.
Or the Dudleys. That would be probably.
I mean, Devon Dudley does work as an agent. Tommy Dreamer is doing stuff with his own company right now.
Okay. Well, other than that.
No. Yeah.
A bit. I would say Abyss is probably top of the list. Yeah.
Yeah.
But in the argument, those guys.
Yeah. I would. And for the record, Rob Van Dam, I was a hardcore wrestler, but I don't think. I think Abyss has more experience with blood and weapon spots than Rob Van Dam does. Because Rob Van Dam did a lot of other stuff. Abyss really didn't.
It's fair.
So that's all good. Arn Anderson, no longer an agent. Sounds like Arn Anderson and Vince McMahon had some heat.
Oh, yeah?
Sounds like it had for a while, but Triple H and John Cena are big Arn Anderson guys.
Yeah.
The talk is that whatever the falling out was at a live event, it sounds like something didn't go planned. Vince was mad at Arn was mad at Vince. Obviously, Vince wasn't going to get in trouble.
Oh, what are you talking about? You mean Vince didn't get the
Future Endeavor. but the talk is that... The talk is that Triple H didn't have enough strokes to save Arn.
Wow.
Well,
I believe that.
Because Triple H has to dial that back a bit. He's got to do... He's behind Vince. He's got to do it. Sounds like they were saying that they thought if... Meltzer said, if Cena was still full-time, Arn would never have been fired. If Triple H and Cena had been there to vouch for Arn, Arn would have stayed, but because it was just Triple H, he couldn't.
Arn got the hook. Well, Arn's been getting up there in years, too.
Yeah, honestly, people are thinking Arn might just go to AEW.
That would be pretty amazing.
I really think Arn's getting up there. Honestly, I think Arn could be a good manager. If you give Arn, like, a protege...
Arn can talk.
Yeah.
Arn can
talk, and no one looks meaner than Arn fucking Anderson. Oh. When Arn Anderson growls at, he just gets that look on his face.
Yeah, no,
he's an intimidating dude.
There is my favorite Arn Anderson moment it was the first time I saw like a wrestler retire. It was on WCW Monday Night Nitro.
Yeah,
he came out. He gave like a retirement speech,
mm-hmm.
and it was really heartfelt. And it was like just like, oh man, that's like.
Did he World Strongest Slam John Cena? There's a lot left in the tank.
No. It was great, and he got a standing ovation and left the ring. The next week, Kevin Nash came up cosplaying as Arn Anderson.
Oh, whoa!
Did very like a parody of the speech, and X-Pac like was like fake crying because mm-hmm. like the horsemen were around and stuff.
Yeah.
And like it was like apparently Nash and Arn had heat for a long
time. Oh, I'm
time
sure. Arn because, Anderson like, takes his shit very seriously.
Yeah, he's all like, yeah. But he gave him a receipt too. He like, yeah. There's like a Starrcade or something where Nash is there and Arn just cracks him with a kendo stick.
Oh man,
like it's like I was like this. It was the first time in wrestling I went, that's too far. Like, I was like, because, like, I love that speech. Like, I respected Arn. Like, I knew who the
Nash was. Nash was a heat seeker, too.
No, I know.
He didn't want to just get heat with the fans. He wanted to get heat with the boys.
Before D-Generation X cosplayed as the Nation, Nash cosplayed.
There's a moment that has not aged well in wrestling history. You're not going to see that in the video package for DX.
That was Attitude Era shit right there.
Yeah.
Kevin Nash could have been in either company and fit in.
No, but I mean, like, I'm like,
that's some edgy.
X-Pac coming out in blackface just as Mark Henry. You're not going to see that on the video package.
Nope.
Some of that shit did not age very well.
It really did.
Like, in 2003, I'm watching, like, Vince McMahon, like, mock Zach Gowen for having one leg.
Ugh.
Like, some of that shit hasn't aged super well. And I'm not... I think it's pro wrestling. I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
But I honestly, it's good heat. But I think if that were to happen today... It would have such an outcry.
Well, you have to think about it. Like, there wasn't Twitter back in the day. They didn't have the social media back in the day. Like even the Hall of Fames I'm watching, like, it's crazy that we can watch a Hall of Fame now and we can instantly comment what we think and how we feel about things.
Yeah.
back in the day, you would just watch it, and then I would have to wait.
You could talk to your friends, and you...
No, I couldn't even do that, because, like, we wouldn't always watch them at the same time. Sure. You know what I mean? Like, the Hall of Fame wasn't so available until a couple of years.
Even in the mid-2000s, like, the best you could do was go on a really bad wrestling forum site.
Yeah.
That no one went out, like...
I tried to do that back in the day, but, like, the community back then was not as accessible as it is now.
An interesting dynamic is that back in the 2000s, these are, like, called the internet wrestling fans. What are they, like, the smarts? You'd mock them because they don't think they know so much about the business. They don't understand.
Yeah.
People still like to use that term, internet wrestling fan. If you like wrestling, you're an internet wrestling fan today.
Yeah,
because of
the, you have to be.
Because Twitter, of the their social media. Facebook,
like, it's everywhere.
So
they show WWE stuff on Facebook Live. Yeah. Like,
it's an interesting thing that a lot of the boys haven't caught up with, like, oh, yeah, the internet wrestling fans, like, we're... If you like wrestling, you're an internet wrestling fan, because there's no other way to enjoy it now.
If you use it properly, you can get super duper paid.
Yeah.
You could even be president. It's true. It's true.
Don't remind me.
I'm just saying. That's just a fact. There's no stance there at all. That's just true.
Sure. So how did SmackDown end? So we had Ricochet.
Kofi.
That's
looking like $1 million.
Kofi Kingston in that 6-man tag.
Called it.
Looking.
You can just tell me how I'm right. Like,
you were right.
Yeah, man.
WWE, who has taken a lot of flack for bad writing lately, bad creative.
Yeah.
In the past month, they've taken Kofi Kingston from a tag team attraction with no real credibility in singles competition for many years beyond mid-card titles.
Yeah.
They have turned him into a very real threat for the WWE title. The fans are into it. They have given him all the momentum in the world. You know my favorite part about... First of all, the Men's Elimination Chamber match is pretty much tied with me for my favorite Elimination Chamber.
It was
Elimination Chamber 1.
My favorite.
And this one.
HBK winning that first one. Comeback story. It was perfect.
They're about on par with me.
This one was really good.
They're about tied.
The women's one was good, too.
The women... I didn't think the men were going to be able to outdo the women's one.
I
was thinking the men weren't going to be able to... And honestly, if the men's one wasn't one of the best matches I've ever seen, I would feel that way about it. But here's the thing. After that match, that was from Kofi Kingston coming in, everyone being eliminated, Daniel and Kofi have a good 10-15 minutes with each other.
Kofi eliminated Orton. It was just them one-on-one.
Yeah.
And it was pins and needles the whole time. They tore
it down together. And Brian wins after Kofi's been devastated. Brian gets carried out of there.
Brian won with a counter, like a small package.
No, Kofi fucked the move up and he caught the running knee.
Okay.
I think he missed like a splash. He missed a splash off the top, chamber.
Okay.
Came up, caught the knee.
Right.
Brian carried out by Harper, and then the New Day hits the ring, and you can see Kofi's like sad, like he's like disappointed. And says something you can hear Xavier say, "You know, shut up," because the fans are chanting, "Thank you." He's like, "Yo, you deserve that." Like,
oh my god, dude! It has been the most emotional week. I need to stop watching these Hall of Fames, man. I'm gonna start crying right
Roman
now.
Roman Reigns is coming back Monday tomorrow night.
No, dude, I'm saying
we could have this could be one of the most emotional months in wrestling.
We're gonna get me to cry on this podcast, man. This is pulling at my heartstrings a little bit here, man.
But like, I think that Kofi leaves the ring with the help of the New Day. The fans chanting that. I literally said if Kofi was retired tonight, this would be a fucking great send off.
Yeah, it would be.
But they've turned it. They've made it feel real.
Yeah.
That felt real.
No,
is the booking of Kofi Kingston in the past 4 weeks has been the best work that WWE has done in a while. And I'm a big fan of currently what they're doing with Daniel Bryan. Big fan of what they're doing with Becky. I think
Becky wasn't on either this week. What was she?
No, I think they're.
She was suspended because they said she would go to jail.
Well, they put over that Charlotte hurt her knee pretty badly at the live. They showed like the live event footage.
Yeah,
they put over that she. I don't think Charlotte even came out during SmackDown.
She was in the back.
They showed her in the back. I don't think she even came out. A pretty stacked SmackDown with basically adding one team and two new guys you needed to give a decent match to. There wasn't a lot of time for a lot else.
Right.
But no, I think that I think it's premature to put it on AEW being a thing, but I think WWE, between Road to WrestleMania,
WWE's kicked
their booking into high gear.
Yep.
This past month has been the reason wrestling is great. We were talking about that watching the Chamber match. Wrestling can be really shitty sometimes. This is why you watch wrestling, to watch the Kofi Kingston thing happen.
Well, I watch for many reasons. I watch for the good and the bad. You know what I mean? Because even when it's bad, it's I can talk about it.
Even when it's
it,
bad, you know what I mean? Like, well, we were talking about how watching bad wrestling alone kind of sucks because there's no one to, you know, commiserate with. Mm-hmm. Watching bad wrestling with your friends is a lot of fun.
Oh, absolutely. So, all right, showtime. I think we've chatted enough. We've had a lot of interesting takes here. And you can tell the two of us haven't been on a show together in a while. So
yeah, no, it's good to get to dust off the old booth. I missed my my first wrestling pay-per-view party since I started coming around.
I was being part-time for that, too. I only showed up for two matches. Yeah, but the pay-per-view did end early. I was trying to make it to at least a couple more.
No, yeah, I think you planned on it being done at 11 or maybe a little later. Yeah, you're like, 10:15, I guess we're done. Fuck. Like,
damn it. Yeah. So, but it was fun. It was a good pay-per-view.
I'm really looking forward to Fastlane.
Final thoughts? This is your final thoughts? Yeah. Go ahead.
Brett, Fastlane coming up. We're certainly on the road to WrestleMania. Pointing backwards. I'm really interested to see how this goes. There's a lot of possibility on how this ends. I really think that one thing we're not talking about, though, is Seth Rollins, Brock Lesnar. Like, I feel like for that being the technical main event of WrestleMania, the Royal Rumble winner versus the Universal title, I think that match is going to be insane. I think that if they're gonna make Seth Rollins the guy, which I think is what they want to do, he's got to beat Brock, and he's got to beat Brock in an exciting match, and I think that's what's gonna happen. In fact, my prediction for Roman Reigns on Raw tomorrow, and I don't like that they're doing it that way, because they're like, oh, update on his leukemia. My guess is he's gonna go, yep, treatment's going great. Here are my thoughts on Brock Lesnar and Seth Rollins.
Yeah, he's gonna kind of cut a promo here.
I think that they're literally bringing him back to talk about his leukemia for 30 seconds, because my guess is there's probably not a whole lot to say.
I'm sure ESPN is going to pick this up no matter what he says.
Oh, I guarantee it. Like, I've got mixed feelings.
It's WrestleMania season. Yeah. We're gonna
I've got mixed feelings about them advertising the interview as such for what I think it'll be, which is Roman Reigns commenting on if Seth can beat Brock.
Yeah.
That said, honestly, I think that having Roman Reigns at ringside for Seth Rollins, Brock Lesnar would be fucking dope.
Oh, there's a lot of history there.
I think having them out there together, you get a cool Seth Rollins, Brock Lesnar celebrating at the end of Mania together.
Maybe. You could always make Dean show up at some point.
I think that would be cool as well. I feel like you would put Dean out there
just for the ring psychology. I would have Dean do a lap and do nothing.
No. I mean, if they trust Dean enough for that, I think that would be fine.
Yeah.
And then, so let's say it's just having the three of them out there would be cool. If Roman Reigns is coming back, I don't think that's reasonable. If he is, have Seth win the match. Roman, Seth celebrate at the end of Mania. Roman take out Seth at the end of Mania. Roman Reigns returns, turns heel on Seth Rollins at the end of WrestleMania.
Roman heel, what everybody was asking for before we even knew he was sick.
Yeah.
That would be
the biggest
pop.
The WrestleMania goes off the air with Seth Rollins after a brutal match with Brock Lesnar, laid out by Roman Reigns. Belt next to him is Roman Reigns. I mean, he doesn't even have to say anything. He doesn't even have to say anything. The implication would be Roman Reigns is back to fight.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, I think Roman Reigns from there goes, you only cared about me when I had cancer. You didn't care about me when I was here before. I don't care about any of you. I got better for my family, you know, all that.
Yeah.
I think heel Roman would be great. And I think that there's a precedent for that. I mean, because I really thought Brian would win the title as a face before he turned heel to kind of put over, I recovered, like I won, like for that big feel-good moment. And WWE forewent that to have a amazing heel run with Daniel Bryan with the title. I initially didn't think well of it. I thought that was kind of dumb to not give him a face run with Bryan with the title.
Mm-hmm.
It's turned out fucking fantastic. I was wrong about that.
Yeah.
Anyway, final thoughts, Trippy Shit.
I'm got a lot to say here. Like, first of all, I want to give it up for the gauntlet match. Just three claps for that. And I'm not talking about just the one that Kofi was in. I'm talking about, like, the one that Seth was in. Every time they bust this match out, it does something.
They have
it's
done it.
Great storytelling.
They have done a great job. I think the gauntlet match is a pretty good way to make a dude he's got the ability to go, and the fans are behind him to some degree. Put him in a gauntlet match at number one, have him have a great showing, maybe not even win.
No.
Have him tragically lose after killing it.
Yeah,
I think gauntlet matches are great for that.
Randy Orton won that last gauntlet match and nobody cared. Like that. Everybody talked about what Kofi did in it.
3 months from now, you're not going to remember who won the gauntlet match. Yeah, probably not going to remember who eliminated Kofi, which wasn't Orton.
Rollins' gauntlet match. Who won that thing?
It wasn't Seth. It wasn't
Roman.
It wasn't Seth.
Yeah, it wasn't Seth. That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, it's not important who wins these things.
Actually, my guess would be a year from now, people think Kofi won that gauntlet match.
They probably won't. Because I know Seth didn't win that one.
Yeah, in my head, I thought Seth Rollins' gauntlet. He won that, didn't he? Oh, no, he didn't. He didn't, but you only remember Seth.
Because he was in there for an hour, you know what I mean? It was great. It was great. It's great storytelling. I love that. I like the fact that I don't know if Kofi is going to win the title or not at Fastlane.
It could happen.
We may get the Eddie Guerrero thing where he wins it just before Mania here.
What's your prediction?
I think Kofi is going to go over at Mania, personally. I think they're going to wait.
I think what happens is Kofi...
New York.
Kofi Bryant at Mania. Kofi Bryant at Fastlane goes to like a schmoz. Like, New Day, Eric Rowan, maybe even Luke Harper comes back, joins Bryan.
Something.
You get like a three on three kind of deal.
I see where you're going.
And then for Mania, you get the rematch. Mm-hmm. You get a non-finish for Fastlane.
Yep.
Set up probably a bigger match. Probably what you do is you have Kofi get within an inch of beating Daniel. And then the match is thrown out for some reason.
Yeah.
So now not only has Kofi earned the shot, he's proved he can do it.
Yeah.
He's got his pinfall off of Bryan this
match. Yep, that was huge. That was huge.
I would be disappointed if anything but Kofi Bryan happened at Mania. If it's another match for the WWE title, I will be disappointed.
I am also surprised that I'm more excited about Kofi than I am about Becky right now. I cannot believe... Like, normally with WWE, they'll have one storyline that I absolutely love. I cannot believe there's more than one storyline that I'm passionate about, that I care about. And I can't believe that the Miz storyline is one of... It's not even in, like...
It's not bad, but
It's not bad. It's absolutely not bad.
It's honestly good. Shane McMahon Miz has been an interesting... For something that didn't make a lot of sense to begin with, that's been pretty good, too.
That's just the Miz taking the ball and running with it.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to make sense for the Miz to make it work. It's who he is. And Shane's not bad at either. You know what I mean? Like,
I think there are a lot of faults in WWE's booking, especially when you look at a picture of about a year.
Yeah.
But if you just narrow it down to the past 2-3 months, WWE's booking has really gotten better. I think some of it's Mania. I think some of it's AEW. And I think some of it is I think the new era thing.
Yeah.
I think behind the scenes, I mean, so think about it. Bruce Pritchard, who is creative 90s, 2000s, they're bringing him back as head of creative.
Yeah.
WWE's trying different stuff.
Yeah.
They're literally bringing back someone who they said they'd never bring back.
Yep. I love it.
I think we may be on the upswing in wrestling, and I think the past few weeks have really given me hope for that.
Yep. So we will be back next week. Or if not in a couple days, because...
Yeah, we can very easily be back.
We got the return of Roman Reigns. Kofi Mania is still running wild. And we got way more chatter to bring into your guys' ear holes. Come see me March 6th. Come see Showtime.
March 20th.
And we will try to make you laugh as hard as we can. I am Trebuchet. Trebuchet out.